And you look in the brine tank and there's like 10 inches of like guppies and, you know, tadpoles.
Yeah.
You know, scum, it's just gross.
Just pond scum in the right, brine tank.
Right. Yeah. Oh.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Make Trades Great Again podcast. Andy, how you doing, man?
We're back.
We're back, dude. We're back and we are bold. I don't even know what that means.
I don't either. You're just not italic or underlined. That's fine.
I like. Was it strike a little through to the side?
Yeah, yeah. My maybe font in yeah, my life font is really like more probably a strike through.
What font are you? That's the
What Instagram. Take our quiz. What font are you? Oh man, this is it, dude.
That's right.
We are full of it today. Man. You had a cool topic idea, and it was kind of based off a conversation we were just having too, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I ran into a couple of things here recently, and we were just talking about in the last episode, and it kind of brought it up as that something that we probably haven't really talked about, is going the extra mile with a customer. So let's say you're in the house and you're replacing the water heater, right? You know, you and I have talked about this. I mean, how many different times you're in there, let's say you're replacing that power vent with a tankless and you look over and the water softener's in service mode and it's unplugged.
Right.
Right. And you look in the brine tank and there's like 10 inches of like guppies and, you know, tadpoles.
Yeah.
You know, scum, it's just gross.
Just pond scum in the right, brine tank.
Right. Yeah. Ugh. Yeah, and there's like human evolution is happening right there. Yeah,
exactly.
we've elaborated from single cell organisms to advanced life forms.
You know, in like the old sci-fi where the gill guy, he's got the gills and like the big things coming off that. Like that was, I think that was a organism that was pulled out of like a brine tank.
Yeah, it came out of a water softener. Yeah.
Yep.
In Antarctica. Yeah. Something. Yeah.
Probably right. Webbed feet. Anyway.
Right. Anyway. So, you know, what do you do there? You know, in that case, for you and I, you know, for sure, you're going to look at it and be like, hey, dude, your softener's broke. You need a new softener. So we're going to sell the softener.
Yeah.
So let's put it into context that you walk in there and you're working on the heater in the basement and you look over on the old wood paneling and here's the outlet with the big smoke stain out the top of it.
Oh yeah,
you know, I've seen you're like, eh, yeah. I mean, it's not my problem. It's not my not my game.
You're gonna need that outlet, right? Or you're gonna need some kind of power, and you just assume that the rest of the circuit in the room is like toast.
Yeah, but on that same note, let's say you're not. Maybe you're walking through a bedroom into through a living room into the mechanical room, and the mechanical room has power and. You know, whatever, but you see this, clearly there's something wrong here, right?
Yeah.
Do you go to the customer and say, hey, yeah, I'm doing my thing here. Everything's groovy on your furnace. You're ready for heat. And, oh, by the way, you know, when I was walking through this room, I noticed this outlet, you know, do you go and say, hey, you know, you should call an electrician. Here's a buddy of mine, or here's a guy that I know that does, or the gal that right. Here's a company that we trust.
Yeah.
You know, we've used these people before. You know, if you need an electrician, I'd have somebody take a look at that because it doesn't look good. You know, just bring it to their attention.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you put your it's actually not as easy to answer. If you're asking me what do I do, it's not as easy to answer as I thought it would be. And here's why. I have a really hard time referring other contractors. I guess at times it fluctuates. I have a couple of guys that I would without hesitation refer to my customer. And then I know guys in the, you know, self-employed, they're out there doing, I've known them for years even. And I'm not naming any names.
Right.
But there's a couple of them I wouldn't refer to my customers. And
absolutely.
I say that. So anybody listening and wondering why, if you don't know why already here, I'm going to open up your eyes a little bit, just a little, if you haven't figured this out already, when you refer somebody, it reflects back on you.
Yeah.
And so I'm not, that's not what this discussion was about, but you kind of posed that question and it may, and I hesitate to say, oh yeah, of course I tell him to call this guy or whatever. If I have that person to call, I will refer. I will say for sure, like I found this outlet, like I was, you know, it's down by the heat register and I looked up and I'm like, whoa, this thing's smoked. This thing for, you got to get that checked out. Yeah. I mean, I won't hesitate to do that, but I will just on the detail of it. I have a hard time sometimes, depending on who it is and what it is, to refer somebody. But anyway, that's kind of a sidetrack. Sorry.
No, but I think that it, you know, that covers the same ground, I guess, if you will.
Yeah.
That if you go in, you know, or let's, I mean, here's a different example. You walk in, you're up working in the attic and you're redoing some plumbing and there's clearly a roof leak.
Right.
You know, do you just go, it's not my problem. Hope they know about it. You know, and I guess those are the kinds of things that we run into. And as a technician, as someone that's a skilled tradesperson that's in the home sector or even in the commercial sector, we know when things don't look right. You know, you may not be trained in like, oh, you're the mold expert, you know, whatever.
Right.
But if there's a problem, there's a problem. And if you don't bring it up to somebody, then in my opinion, you've kind of said, you know, you've kind of just been like, whatever. It's not my house. Can't see it from my house. Not my problem. You know?
Yeah. And, I mean, yeah, I'm not the expert. Like you said, I'm diving right into that and be like, hey, by the way, come look at this.
You got something going on here. Yeah.
I think there's a lot to, there's a lot of ways to build your relationship with your customer. And I think this is one of them that goes a long way for them trusting you.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to get all salesy, that's not going to work for every customer.
No.
You know, regardless of how you like Andy, you or me feel about like some customers are going to be turned off immediately. Some aren't going to be like, well, thanks.
Yeah.
Even if you're trying to sell, you know, on the side of like your business, because we're in this to make money.
Right.
There are opportunities out there. And if you're not presenting them to your customer, you know, it's that whole, if you don't ask, you won't get it, you know, like,
right.
And I've told you, you and I have had this conversation many times. And I, you know, as a small one man company, a good amount of business that comes my way is while I'm already in my customers' homes.
Yeah.
Right.
Absolutely.
I'm there. I'm presenting a real situation like your example, the softener. It's a perfect example.
Yeah.
I've used it. You've used it. Like, look, I noticed this thing is like original to your 1989 house.
Yeah.
It's an old, time-based softener. It's not metered.
Yeah.
At the very least work. You can upgrade. Yeah. Right. I know it's not working. Like it's not effective anymore.
Right.
Like that's a fact. I don't even have to tell me that. It's 35, 40 years old, but, but the fact is like, it's wasting water. It's using more salt than it needs to. There's all kinds of reasons why you could consider, given its age, it's time to replace it kind of deal.
Yeah.
But I present that to my customers all the time, and that's a different subject, but kind of along the same lines is like, it's how you present it too. Like if you're just going to try to sell people stuff, my customers oftentimes are turned off by that. Maybe it's my presentation. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I go a couple of different directions with it. And the softener thing, you know, because I run across it routinely. In a lot of cases, we'll get to a customer. I'm actually going to one this afternoon that we're doing a new laundry box in. And they've got a softener that's been unplugged. They've had the house for 3 years. I went and, you know, quoted this job for them. And I said, do you want me to cut that out? You know, can I get that out of the system for you so that there's no potential for this, you know, nasty three-year-old water from contaminating your drinking water? And, you know, they're like, no, you know, someday we might replace it, you know, but right now we don't even need a softener and it's got a 3-valve bypass on it. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to take the handles off at least of these two valves so that somebody can't come down here in a panic thinking that they're shutting the water off, and turn this thing on and open the bypass and juice your system with whatever's in there.
Next thing, your kids have gills.
That's right. Right. And they can swim upside down. You know, I don't know.
I think people can swim upside down already. Maybe.
Just
saying, start walking on their hands.
It's a figure of speech. Have you never heard that before? But you know, you do things like that. I mean, another example yesterday, we were talking about it. We carry these little Honeywell BW personal carbon monoxide detectors. My crew, everybody's got one. It's on their tool bag.
I have the same one. Yep.
Yep. I mean, I don't know. Somebody turned me on to it. I don't know if it was Mo.
I remember it was Josh.
Or Josh. That's right. Josh was.
It was Josh at Triangle 2.
Yeah. And I've had that. You know, we've had these for 2 years now, and they were just at the point where they're time to be replaced.
Yep.
And so I ordered a new set for the crew, and mine had like 6 days left on it, 7 days left on it. And I walk into this job yesterday at this heavy equipment dealership. And as soon as I walk through the door with my tool bag in the parts department, my alarm starts going off. And I'm like, well, that's weird. You know, what the heck? Because it like largely doesn't go off. You know, like a lot of times I'm like, I don't even know if this thing works. But, you know, if you got the van door open and the van's running, it'll go off. And so I walk into this building, and I literally 10 steps in the building, beep, 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 beep. And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird.
Right.
And I look at it and it says low level alarm. And I'm like, huh, well, that's, you know, 35 parts per million is where this thing goes off. And I'm like, what the heck? So I walk back outside, and as soon as I clear the entry door, boop, it's off. Huh. Walk back inside, it goes off. And I'm like, huh, that's strange. You know, I'm talking to the guy at the counter, and I'm like, hey, you know, do you guys ever, you know, run into any, you know, issues with this? You guys got a carbon monoxide detector? And it's a big, big warehouse. I mean, this thing's, I don't know, 150 by 100.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, no, we've never really had any issues. You know, I mean, the machine shop's on the other side, and the big engine dyno's over there, and boiler room's over here. And so we walked into the machine shop where, I mean, this thing is like full of tractors and semi-trucks, and they do all kinds of stuff.
Different business.
No, same business. Oh. That we're in the parts warehouse. And so we walk into the machine shop, and alarm goes off. Bloop. Silence. No issue. And I'm like, well, clearly they got the ventilation fans on out here. Walk back in the parts warehouse. Beep. Alarm's going off. Go into the boiler room. Alarm shuts off. No alarm in the boiler room. I'm like, what the heck?
And they're like this concentrated vortex of CO in their little... Is it like the wheel called? What? No. Oh,
no. It's,
no. I'm thinking, okay, I get it. Sorry. Yeah.
I think they drive the forklift around in there all day long, loading stuff all in and off of the pallet racking, and whatever they had for ventilation is no longer working.
They probably turn it off because they're like, it's cold in here in the wintertime. Right. Yeah. Because you don't have a makeup air heater.
Right.
And you need to breathe.
Yeah, and so I'm there to replace a flush valve on a toilet, you know. So I go in and I take care of my toilet call, and I went out and grab my other monoxer, and I come in, and it's not reading like anything that's, you know, setting it off. And I'm like, I don't, you know, it might be, you know, a chemical thing that's doing it, but if it was a chemical thing, it should have been everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, so I go out, I grab my new, brand new one that I hadn't activated yet. Activate the thing out in the truck, wait the 30 seconds or whatever, and I walk back in with the brand new one. Boop. I mean, within a second of each other, it's going off with the other one. And I'm like, well, I don't know. I gave the guy my old one, the one that had 7 days left on it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, here you go. You know, play around with it. Figure out. I mean, you guys got to figure out where it's coming from. Normally, I would be the one that would be like, hey, I'm doing this. However, we put in a proposal on a quarterly maintenance contract for this building, and we didn't get it. They went with somebody else.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you need to call whoever's doing your quarterly maintenance. This isn't my game.
Yeah.
You know, you have someone else who's taking care of your system. You need to call them and tell them they have a problem here now. And, you know,
it's probably the forklifts.
I think it is probably the forklifts. They got some really, really old Reverb Array or Detroit Radiant. overhead heaters. Have you ever worked on those?
Yep.
Where they got one big central fan at the out the outside of the building, and then there's like 10 burner units inside the building.
Mm-hmm.
So they got those, and I'm guessing, I mean, it could be those.
It's probably got holes in it.
Oh, I bet it does.
The radiant tube?
Yep. Well, yep. They had gas valves off on two of them that I saw from the floor. Yeah. So I'm like, yeah, I guess on that one right there, it's got a problem.
It's probably got a leak in it.
Right. So just, anyway.
Just pumping carbon monoxide.
Yeah.
Yeah, go the extra mile. Yeah. Tell your customer. Well, dude, I mean, get this fixed.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it would suck. I mean, in that particular case, right? Am I on the hook for not telling the customer that my carbon monoxide alarm went off? No, but I'd feel terrible if somebody got hurt or died.
Oh, yeah.
You're right?
It doesn't. Absolutely. Yeah.
So same thing with like an outlet or some other hazard in somebody's house. It doesn't take but a few seconds to go, hey, I noticed this is an issue. You're not on the hook to fix it. You're not responsible to fix it, but...
And sometimes it might know. Yeah, but also sometimes it might mean, you know, you add a sale on to your job.
Yeah.
And that's not absolutely a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to do that. Trust me.
Nope, it's not.
Until you buy yachts. All right. Yep. Everybody, thanks for listening. If you haven't already subscribed to our podcast, we really do appreciate it. And if you could, in one way or another, find a place to give us a review. We'd love to hear from you. And it helps other people find us. Andy, absolutely, have a good day, dude.
All right, you too. See you.